Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Barber's a running back, gets the handoff, jumps over the top, jackpot, baby! Touchdown, Raiders!
We have a great offensive line. Got to tip my hat to those guys for blocking, and great fullback as well. I think really it's just getting settled in with the offense.
Well, at least somebody believes that the Raiders have a great offensive line, and of course, if you're a running back, especially a guy just showing up to the scene, you want to give the big guys up front some love, right, Lincoln?
So take care of the hands that take care of you.
Exactly. So Peyton Barber giving it up to the offensive line. I did feel like they did start playing better in the second half, without question. I mean, and that's honestly, Lincoln, you would feel a lot worse about things if they didn't. But they really did run the ball pretty effectively in the second half, and it was much needed for everybody's psyche, because it's something that the Raiders have to get fixed. They got to be able to, you're not going to be able to run the ball like every time you want. Those other defenses or those other guys are pretty damn good too. They're in the NFL for a
they
reason.
They get paid. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to make plays, but you just can't go prolonged periods the way they have this year, just getting knocked back,
right.
and that's why, not to belabor the point, but when they got the 7 yards on those first two runs, that's kind of like you're feeling pretty good about things right there.
Certainly.
Because otherwise, I'll put it this way, Lincoln, if they had got stuffed on first and 10 and now it's, second and 11 or second and 9, absolutely you throw the ball right there, because you just got stuffed. But you come back with it and get another 4 yards or so, and it's moving in the right direction, and that's kind of what you're looking to do right there. And then you ask Derek to complete a fairly easy 3 yard play, and that didn't happen. And not to point any fingers, it just didn't happen. But I don't think it was overly conservative right there. But I know a lot of people see it differently, and I totally respect that. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Nick is in New York. Nick, how you doing, brother?
Hi, Vinny. Hi, Lincoln. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
So quickly, I actually called to talk about the Raider organization, but on that third down play that you guys were referencing, that was actually Brian Edwards, and he was covered like a glove, and there was really no chance to make that pass complete. If there was anything at all, you'd say maybe there was have a few more 3 or 4 yard options. It didn't look like there were any others, only Edwards, and he was covered pretty quickly. There's nowhere to go with that ball, but I agree with what you said. You can't second guess. It can go either way. But the real reason for my call is because I got Lincoln on the other side as well. I've been a Raider fan. I've been a Raider fan as long as my brother has been a fan, which is when the Heidi game happened. I want to say 68 or whatever year it was. He's 10 years older. So I can't even tell you when I started rooting for them, because he's 10 years older than me. So I would say probably when I was 4 or 5. And
wow.
I'm a Rabbit fan now, and I'm 53 years old. And one of the things that happened over time is I've recognized that there are more people like me, not just I'm not just out there living in New York, growing up in New York and being a fan of the Raiders, and people like, well, why? But there's a Raider Nation. I went to Oakland. My last away game was Washington, 13 years ago, and then I went to Oakland 2 or 3 years later, and then since went back 9 times. And I realized a dream not too long ago. I got season tickets to Vegas. I'll be going to my first game in October. But what I want to know, and I'm addressing this towards Lincoln, no offense to you, Vinny, but
oh, no,
I'm a charitable guy. Like one of my goals in life when I'm done making money and raising my kids is to start a charity and do things. I did already. And, you know, so when you're 9 years old, you root for a team, and then you become the person that you are, and then you start to look for things. And along the way, I really, you know, and Al Davis is not far from where I grew up. I met some people, and I heard these stories about how charitable he was. And then, you know, you grow up and you see how close the guys that used to play come back, even the guys that played for 2 or 3 years, you know, and they come back and they consider themselves Raiders, even though they played for another organization 7 or 8 times. And I'm sure there are plenty of great organizations out there, but I just feel like there's something different about the Raiders. I'd love to get somebody to write a book about it or even report about it more, because, and Lincoln, hopefully you can remember this, and this all ties back into what happened with Raider Rob and the Black Hole this weekend, and how the radio station, JT, all you guys, you know, reached back out, and how the nation rallied around what's happened to that unfortunate man and that, you know, his family and that man. And, you know, it just feels like there's a really big connection. I don't know that really exists the same way. And so the story I'm going to reference, Lincoln, is there was a linebacker from the Chiefs, you know, I just referenced it the other day, Derek Thomas. And I believe Derek was in a bad car accident.
Yes,
in Florida.
He was. Yes.
Right.
So, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember a story that Dal Davis, while he was in, and nobody knew this, I don't even know how I heard it, while he was in Florida, made sure to go visit him in the hospital and offered him any resources to help him in any way, shape, or form. And that was, you know, I don't know, that was the arch nemesis of the Raiders. You know, we hated Derek Thomas, you know, but then you see this man who hired Tom Flores, who hired Art Shell, who hired Amy Trask, you know, who brought all these people in, who was way ahead of the social movement before the last few years even happened. And you know what? I attach to that as a person, as a human being. I'm not just a Raider fan.
Well, I get it. Okay, so what's your question? Come on. What's your point?
I'm sorry. My question is, Lincoln, you being on the inside a little bit more, am I just dreaming that up because I want it to be that way, or is that the way it is?
It has been a family. It's always been a family. And yes, I wrote a book about it, Inside the Locker Room, If These Walls Could Talk, you know. But I mean, to your point, the Raider Nation have been a part of the family. I've said it. All the guys, the alumni that have come back have said it, you know, as it's one of the things that we take pride in representing when we're out. We love the nation, and that's why we built Allegiant Stadium. That's why, you know, the nation now has their own home where they can support their team and not have to worry about sharing it with anyone. So all the things that you mentioned about the Raider history are all true. It is more of a family than well, my experience with other teams. But I only played for 2 teams. And back when I played for the Falcons, it was not like that. The fan base was not like that. Of course, it's a different ownership, Arthur Blank, than when I played with the Smiths. But, you know, it's a family organization now. It's one of the things I take pride in representing and wanting to be affiliated with.
Yeah, I think, you know, just from my standpoint, the Raider organization is different in many better ways than other organizations. So you're on the right track, Nick. Safe travels to Las Vegas when you come out here for a game in October. Don't be a stranger. Give us a call whenever you want, and come by and say hi when you're out here in Vegas. We're going to go back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Guarab is on the line. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Very good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm calling to, you know, we're going to find out how good the Raider defense is this Monday playing the Chargers. You're definitely going up against probably out of all 3 teams that the Raiders have played, the best thrower of the ball. So I would like to know that this defense, I mean, I know that he's going to be able to move the ball and stuff, but, like, you know, as I saw Brissett move it 4th and 20, I would imagine someone like Herbert could move it 4th and 35. But besides that, Tom Cable, what's the deal with Tom Cable? He's actually talked about as highly, you know, respected as a really good offensive line coach. I mean, The Simpson and Cotton, and you have Parker, all these other guys, they haven't really gotten that much better. I mean, what's the deal with that there?
From what? Guarab, from what? When you say that they haven't gotten better, what's your starting point? for John Simpson?
Well, I mean,
John Simpson's gotten better, flat out. He's gotten better from last year as a rookie. I want to know what you're like. What reference point are you talking about?
Which one? What now?
What reference point? When you're talking about John Simpson, what's your reference point from start to now to say that he hasn't gotten better?
Well, I mean, from what I've seen, I mean, it just seems like it's inconsistent.
There has been some inconsistencies, but I guess my question, you literally said that John Simpson hasn't gotten better. But John Simpson has gotten better.
How much better has he gotten, really?
From when? That's why I'm asking. From last year when he was a rookie?
He's played some now. He's played some last year. I mean, he played pretty much quite a bit last year as well.
He didn't play quite a bit. He played a little bit last year. Now he's a starter. He wasn't supposed to be a starter. So that tells you a little bit of something about, you know, where he was and where he is right now. So he's a work in progress. But to say he hasn't gotten better, Lincoln, I think that you would disagree with that too, right?
I would disagree with it. I think he has gotten better. I mean, he's still a young player. I don't know what exactly you're expecting. And to say what's up with Tom Cable, I mean, he's doing the best he could.
Yeah.
You lose the starting guard for in the first game of the season for the year. I don't know how you blame the coach for that or what the problem is. But as far as development goes, it's really hard to develop in the National Football League given the current CBA and given the situation. I would have had my druthers have had those guys playing in preseason. He didn't. They don't do that.
John Simpson played in the preseason.
Well, no, I'm talking about the other guys that he was referring. So, I mean, it's like you want to sit there and say, how can you develop? Well, they got the performance out of John Simpson. Like, he's starting, and he's doing a better job than he did last year. He was pushed around a lot more last year.
I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out, like, not getting better. If you watched him last year and you're watching him this year, he's definitely a better player than he was last year. That's what I'm trying to figure out, like, where he was going with that, because I totally disagree. I think John Simpson is getting better, and he's got better game to game, by the way. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Lester wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Lester?
Good, guys. Thanks for taking the phone call. Just one thing about the offense and on the defense, and I'll jump off the air for you.
Yeah.
Get your perspectives. Now, regarding – it's just critical football, situational critical football in certain situations, obviously. I think we need to the coaching staff needs to be self-aware of. You know, obviously, I think the big one in the last game was at the 3.5-minute mark when – coach called two running plays in a row, and the second one was a loss of yards, and then you're stuck in a third and 13. That's where I think Coach Greedon needs to be a little self-aware now and not act like, you know, 3.5 minutes is a minute and a half left or a minute 30 left in the game. Keep pushing it. You know, we got a lot of weapons on the receiving core that could catch 3-5-yard passes, 8-yard passes, and they get that first down. So it's those type of things that are tendencies that other teams will be scouting on as the season goes on, and we can't be fading and other teams knowing our tendencies like that in the third and fourth quarters of the season. So hopefully things start changing up a little bit in those certain situations. On the defense, love how they're playing right now overall. I really do. Those pickups that we made with Hayward, with the linebackers, Perryman and K.J. Wright, fantastic. Max Crosby's balling. I'd like to see a little bit more pressure, though. I think we're one of the least blitzing teams in the league. That can't go on over the league. You got to mix it up. You got to get a little pressure. Get in the face of Herbert. Get pressure in that kid up the middle. Bring it to him. Get him rattled. Shake him up. We can't just let him sit in the pocket and pick us apart because you can't rely on four the whole game now. I understand our four is better. Our four rotation is better than last year's rotation, but we still can't rely on it the same way all season long. So hopefully we switch it up a little bit. Gus Bradley, I have trust in him. And just to mix it up to get pressure on that kid. Let me know what you guys think.
Thanks for the call, Lester. Number one, they were mixing it up in the pass rush. There were some blitzes called on Sunday. Number two, they haven't let anybody sit back in the pocket at all this year. They've been bringing it on a daily basis, on a play-by-play basis, I should say. So they've created the most pressure in the NFL to date. So they're not letting anybody – in fact, really – the plays that have hurt them is when they flush guys out of the pocket and they make plays on the run. That's really what's been hurting them so far this year, on the rare occasions that they have been hurt in that regard. Secondly, Lincoln, I go back to that run thing. Listen, they had been running the ball effectively up until that point. And so I thought it was a smart thing to do, because if you throw it two incomplete passes, which could have happened too, everybody and their uncle Lincoln is saying, why didn't you run the ball and try to run some clock? I mean, it's darned if you do, darned if you don't. And it's all based on results. That's what, you know, it's easy after the result to look back and say you should have been more aggressive or you should have been less aggressive and just gone with the run game, when all you're basing it is on is not the intent, is not the idea, it's the result. And that's kind of a half-you-know-what argument to me when you're just basing it on what happened, not the intent or not the plan.
Well, they ran for 140 yards, right? And they ended the game averaging 6.1 yards per play. Offensively, it's not a bad outing.
Right.
But I think you go back to it, and the reason why most of the callers and I have had the same point was that game should have never been that close.
No doubt.
So that's the bottom line of the thing. It's just, it should have never been that close. The Raiders are so much of a better team collectively. I know what Miami's defense is capable of, and they have the longest streak of getting a takeaway in every game and stuff like that. I give them credit. I think they're a well-coached team. But their offense was lacking, and it has been lacking for the last couple of years. I was surprised they won 10 wins last year.
And here's the thing. The reason it was close is because it was never going to be a blowout when you go down by 14.
No.
You know?
No.
So the blowout thing is out the door.
And to that point, you know, here's the thing. I've always had confidence in Derek Carr when he's out there. He's capable of making throws. I never think the Raiders are really out of a game.
Right.
It's just one of those starts where it's like, oh, my gosh, you got it. You're putting your back up against the wall. And now a team that knows that you're going to blitz or knows that you're, if they know since you're going to pass, just taping their heels, their ears back and rushing full bore. But, you know, I thought it was very arrogant of the Dolphins to continue to play the defense that they did when they saw that they were putting, like, their nickel corner, the number 40 kid, and would put them in on Ruggs and other people, and they were going to take advantage of them. They were going to pick on them, much like the caller said that people pick on Damon Arnett. Absolutely.
Of course.
They're going to pick on Damon Arnett. Why wouldn't you? Trayvon Mullen has shown that he can play. You know what you got with Casey Hayward. If you see number 20 coming again, hell yeah, you're going to throw it.
That's the weak link. That's what it's all about, you know, and unfortunately, Damon's got to get that fixed.
He's got to get better.
Yeah,
he's
exactly. Better. Robert in Portland, how you doing, Robert?
Yeah, hey, Link. You had Robert. A hell of a coach, Don James, man, career, too.
I did.
One hell of an experience. 3 straight Rose Bowls and a national championship. How many people out there remember that? I do. Coming from Portland up here.
Appreciate it.
Anyway, I got a question for you. I had mentioned to Vinny yesterday that Derwin is playing him. He played him in 18 and beat him all by himself. And Derwin's going to be playing this Sunday. You being an ex-tackle on the opposite side of Bob Whitfield, what would you guys be doing? You have Jesse Tuggle on your team. What would you do with this guy? This guy, Derwin James, because he's going to be visiting Carr in this game.
Well, he's going to be trying to – yeah, he's a hell of a player. And their defense, the Chargers defense, is a much better defense when he's there. I'm interested to see how the Chargers are going to address the Raiders' receivers right now. And if they're going to put Derwin James, if he's going to trail anywhere that Darren Waller is. I'm interested to see. But I think initially it's not so much Derwin James who I'm most concerned about. I'm concerned about what plan they're going to have for Bosa. Because putting him on Leatherwood, and Leatherwood has struggled with some low corner guys like T.J. Watt had him in the first quarter. They were fortunate he didn't finish it. I want to see how they're going to address that, if they're going to chip or they're going to put Foss Moreau over there. So I think that, you know, for the most part, I've seen Cable and Gruden. They're not afraid to support the tackle and help him out. It's just, I think, like in the Pittsburgh game, it started. It was fortunate that T.J. Watt went out when he did, because they didn't really start, you know, going max protection until the second half. And then there was that one instance where Watt got around Leatherford and caused that fumble, and that could have been disastrous, especially the way he hit Derek. I mean, those are types of things that I worry about. But I'm more concerned on how they're going to address Bosa.
Yeah, same here. Thanks for the call, Robert. Just Win Wendy. How are you doing, Just Win Wendy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Vinny. Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
And I have a few observations. Okay, I got home yesterday, and I'm still recovering today. It just takes time for older people to recover from all that, especially with these overtime quarters. I'm like, oh my god. So I heard somebody is starting to call us, it's called the Raiders, the Cardiac Kids.
Oh, I like it.
I think it's totally it, you know. Oh my gosh, you know. So we could all just sleep through the first half, really, and just go in.
Seems like that's what the Raiders have been doing.
Right.
No, I hate to say that. Anyway, I have a couple of questions about the offensive line and observations, and see if I'm right or wrong. For what I've heard over the years when they do interviews with quarterbacks, and they say that some people say that the most important relationship on the whole team is between the quarterback and the center. And I've heard that before because it's like every single snap. And not only that, when I'm watching the replay today, I looked again. I watched all three games, but today, you know, Derek doesn't have time in the huddle to go back and go, oh, by the way, Andre, that was high. And Andre doesn't necessarily know it was high, does he? I mean, he's in the middle of a block. He doesn't know that he sent a high snap. And so it's like they have to work hard on their relationship. And I know you were talking about, you know, they just need snaps. But isn't it really, you know, that it's not just the five of them together, it's Derek and Andre. It's the two of them together.
Lincoln, when it comes to the shotgun exchange?
Yeah. See, the thing is that we didn't play with a lot of quarterbacks that did shotgun. It was taken from under center. The relationship, the dynamic between the center and the quarterback is a special relationship on its own. They have to understand each other because, more importantly, I mean, you know, when Andre comes to the line, he's designated the five most dangerous and the Mike backer. And then sometimes Derek can call him off and make him change. But that's basically communication. But here, you know, to her point, you know, he'll learn about the high snap or the errant snap from the sideline, or somebody will tell him if it, you know, especially when he got away.
The crowd roaring and groaning usually is the, you know.
No doubt. But yeah, it's just, again, it's something that you do. You know, Derek is confident in himself, and you see him take the snaps and warm-ups. Andre, when they come out of pregame, Andre's snapping to him. He's not snapping to Peterman. He's snapping to him. So it's you know, those things that you don't want to happen, that shouldn't happen on a professional level, but it does.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, Andre James, if you remember, was a tackle in college. Yeah. So definitely making a position change. This is the most shotgun snaps that he's taken in his entire life. And it just seemed – I didn't really notice this, you know, the first two games, Lincoln. It just seemed he was a little unsure of himself on Sunday for whatever reason. It looked erratic from the very beginning, at least early in that game. A couple of them were a little low. Some of them were sort of floating instead of kind of getting there quicker. And then the one that we're talking about obviously went way over his head, and it felt off that whole first quarter.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the replay when I did it. I mean, he was trying to do too much, in my opinion. Again, whenever I coach the center, I'd say the first thing, you got to make sure you get the snap back there.
Yeah.
But responsibilities were calling. He was trying to get places in a hurry, obviously, the game speed and stuff like that, do his thing. But I just thought he was doing a little too much instead of the first objective is to snap the ball right.
Yeah, I agree. And that's how you end up down 14-0, a pick six and a snap like that, going for it on fourth down to try to get the momentum, and you know, because you were moving the ball, it added up. But good news for the Raiders is they got some fighters on this team and enough talent and wherewithal to get settled down and come back and win the game nonetheless. It's just that's what you have to avoid, because I'll say this, I don't think that's going to work against the Chargers. I don't think spotting them 14 points.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that. No,
not at all.
Please don't do that.
You're in the huddle. Yeah, exactly. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador. It's Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Tuesday.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy.
Yeah, that's the headline today to me. You know, we had some penalties that really went against us. Pass interference in the end zone. You know, we had some terrible penalties that really hurt us. We fell behind. Gave up 4th-and-20. We missed an extra point. Guys are leaving. We got newcomers playing that haven't played much before, but you just finish. You know, we talk about it a lot. You just find a way to finish. And really proud of our coaches and players for doing that.
You know, Lincoln, I have never been in a winning locker room where anybody was ever ashamed about winning a football game. You know, there's always things that you could do better. That's why film on Monday or Tuesday, whenever you guys, or Wednesday, whenever you look at the film, and you know, you're going to get your grades and you're going to understand what you did right and what you did wrong. And we all know that coaches are going to be extremely blunt about it. There's not going to be any sugarcoating or any secrets or anything like that. That's when you go back and look and fix and teach and all that. But immediately after a game, I don't care if it's 100-0 or you win by the whisker on your chinny chin chin. It doesn't matter. You won the damn game, and that's what it's all about. So the Raiders have won 3 games against teams that I don't think anyone thought that they would be 3-0 at this point. In fact, everybody, including Las Vegas, felt like, nah, they're not going to do that. That's why they were decided underdogs in all 3 of those games. So nothing to be ashamed of. And you go try to coach up those mistakes and those flaws and all that, but enjoy the win for sure.
Well, yes and no. I mean, when you're aiming for higher standards, you should address them. And you shouldn't be happy. Yeah, you're happy that you won. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it leaves a knot in your stomach when you have breakdowns that are avoidable. An errant snap, pick 6.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Things like that, or you miss an extra point. So what he was stressing is that we need to have all focus all the time and we can't allow those things to slip, because just as much as we sit there and say that they're a better team, and we agree upon that they're a better team than the Dolphins, and they could have easily lost that game.
No question.
I mean, they could have easily lost that game, and now we're sitting here shaking our head like, "Oh my goodness, what is going on?" Because, but I think that the maturity that we see from this team moving forward is that, one, they're ultimately competitive both sides of the ball in all 3 phases, and especially the turning the field with the special teams, and you have that option. Unlike last year, where I felt Gruden felt compelled, he had to score touchdowns because he knew the defense was lacking. That, you know, you can play for 3s, you can play for field goals. It just, we all would have thought that it would have been a little bit better earlier than the way it had to come back.
It, without question. But the key point being, finish. And
finish.
That is something that has been troublesome for the Raiders for a while, whether it was finishing games that they should have won in the past that they lost, or finishing seasons that they started fast and collapsed in the second half. Finishing is the key, and that's what I'm seeing from this team. I know that it hasn't always been pretty. That's why they've had to have some overtimes to win some of these games. But finishing is a trait, is a characteristic that doesn't just happen, especially for a young team. You have to ascend to that point where you know, you have what it takes to be able to finish and to have that mindset. And I think that, again, I go back to these banked experiences. No, you don't want to be in that situation at all. You want to win the game 100-0. You want to win the game going away. And I think the Raiders are going to win some of these games going away here as we move forward. But against 3 good teams, all 3 of these teams have been talked about in playoff fashion, and I think 1 or 2 of them probably will be there.
All 3 of the teams were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but I'm
Miami, but all three won 10 games.
10 games,
yeah, that was what I was
all 3
about.
Are being talked about as playoff participants this year, which is why also 3 wins over AFC teams that are projected to be in that playoff race is huge for the Raiders.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
For the potential tiebreakers and everything else, you can more likely to host a game rather than have to go somewhere.
Without a doubt. Raider Calvin is on the line. How you doing, Raider Calvin?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good, good.
Great show. Hey, so I was going to bring it up, the play call thing. I was going to bring it up. I would just like to say that it doesn't always have to be run, pass. It can be pass, run, pass, or pass, run, run. The idea is to get the first 7 yards out of the way and then get the last 3 on run plays. But that's it. I just wanted to say that. I really called to talk about, we have a great opportunity. We know our coach, our defensive coaches know more about the Chargers quarterback than anybody does. They were there all year last year with him in practice, training camp. So I think Gus should have a lot of good information as far as how to attack him and how to maybe possibly confuse him when he drops back the pass. So I haven't heard that mentioned before, but that's got to be a great advantage for us on defense, is having Gus Bradley and those other assistants there that know so much about their quarterback. That's all I wanted to bring up. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Raider Calvin. And Casey Hayward, who practice against him every day, and Denzel Perryman, who practice against him every day. So it's got to – I mean, it can't have a bad effect, right, Lincoln? It's
gotta, No. I mean, it's definitely helpful. And that's to be, you know, be understood. The fact is that you know, they've got a fluid offense. I mean, their offense has really looked sharp. And their defense is strong, and that was one of the strengths of the Chargers had. And keep in mind the history between these two teams. The Chargers have always played as well. You know, it's not like we've blown out. I mean, they've got some balance on their offense, and they've got some weapons. So it's not like we've blown them out and we can control it. Everyone was predicting, including or talking about the fact that when it comes to this division, they were expecting us to finish behind the Chargers. So, I mean, it's going to be a battle, no doubt.
I love they, quote unquote. They.
Yeah, them people.
They.
Mm-hmm.
I got a few things to say about they sometimes. Back out to the Raider Nation list line, Raider T. Sometimes they make my job a little bit harder. Trust me when I say that, Lincoln, because they say a lot of things that I got to go chasing my tail around,
right,
trying to figure out if they were right. And a lot of times they are wrong. Anyway, sorry about that. Raider T is on the line. How you doing, Raider T?
Going on, Vinny, Lincoln.
What's up, man?
The running game, man. I'm looking at the stats from the Chargers the last 3 weeks. They got a 100-yard rusher last week, 100-yard rusher the week before, and a 90-yard rusher the first week. So really think they got to figure out. I mean, they did great. I mean, talk about finding a guy like Peyton Barber. You know what I was really impressed with that's not talked about? This guy can catch.
Yeah.
He was running out of the backfield, and I was like, wow, they're throwing to him a lot. For a guy that he haven't practiced a whole lot with, you would think you wouldn't throw to a guy that often, but they were tossing the ball, which was great. So talk about a pickup, man. When it comes to Kenyon Drake, though, I just feel like he's not running through the tackles very well. You know, I kind of expect a little bit more from him there. He's doing great in the pass, obviously. He has a big involvement in the offense. It's just, you know, it'd be nice to kind of see him, you know, get some big yardages through the holes. Not that there's much holes there. But I am surprised they didn't try Trey Regis a couple times out there. I know, you know, I don't know how much faith they have in him, but for us kind of struggling in the run game, I know we ended up having a good run game, but why not, you know, give him a few carries, see how he was going to do. He seemed like a guy to be a bulldozer a little bit, but I don't know. I just think it's really going to be important to establish that run game. But if it's not there and the pass game's working, I don't say go away from it, though. You know, like this big topic we're having about the fourth quarter, I won't talk about it again. I feel like we abused that subject. But the other thing I want to say is, man, this division, I feel like for being 3-0, it reminds me like in 2016 where, like, I think our whole division was really good pretty much the whole year, where I didn't feel like, man, like, we're winning games, but so is everybody else in the division. So I feel like it's like, dang it, the Raiders are good, but the Broncos and the Chargers, and you don't count out the Chiefs. Like, dang it, man. Like, I just wanted them just to be solely up there, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, we could be an 11-win team, and I don't even know if playoffs are even an option. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. I think the best football right now is being played on the West Coast or the western part of the world. Lincoln County, at least in the United States, when you talk about the Rams are 3-0, the Raiders are 3-0, the Chargers are 2-1, you know, the 49ers are 2-1. You know, there's some good football out here. And you know, getting back to Kenyon Drake, Lincoln, I'm trying to go back on the old on the injury reports that we had, but I seem to remember that Kenyon was dealing with some sort of a leg issue earlier.
He was banged up too, along with Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. So I don't know, and I don't want to throw anything out there that's erroneous, but it doesn't seem like he's 100%. I'm just going to say that, Lincoln.
Well, again, I mean, this is a process where you're still trying to figure out what guys are good at full speed. Does that make sense?
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like, you know, where are guys and how do they perform full speed and in the throes of everything, and of course the timing of, you know, whether Peyton Barber is a better I-back runner than Kenyon Drake, which they, you know, they were exploring, you know, with Alec Ingold and trying to get him involved in the game. So, I mean, they've got, they're tooling around because of the injury factor. That's what it's coming down to. You're exploring what you can do because of the injury factor and the lack of really being able to practice. To understand who's well, and of course not having them in preseason, you can't see them at full speed until you put them in a regular game.
And you know, even with preseason, Lincoln, if you played that straight up and played your guys, it still usually takes a while into a season until you really understand what it is that you have, let alone having to deal with injuries. You know, to have to work around as well. But you know, nobody's perfect. And you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be where you want to be exactly three games into the season. Yeah. That's something for down the line. And you know, and I think that the more comfortable Kenyon Drake gets with this offense, the more John Gruden understands, you know, what he's good at, what his strong suits are, drawing up some things. I'll point this out. I was getting calls, you know, obviously I used to cover the Rams, so people are like, what's going on with DeSean Jackson? This is the first couple of games of the season, and he hadn't been featured, and I don't know if he even had a catch the first two games of the season. Mm-hmm. And instinctually, Lincoln, I went to where Sean McVay might be thinking, like, I don't need to show him just yet.
Right.
So there's a little of that going on as well, where you feel like, I don't need to go to dip into that well just yet. And what happened on Sunday with the Rams beating the Buccaneers and DeSean Jackson all of a sudden reemerging, having a big game, I kind of think, knowing Sean, that he probably was holding that card in his back pocket a little bit and dropped him right when he needed to drop him against the Buccaneers. I don't know that this is the case. You would know better than I would, Lincoln, but I would think a shrewd coach doesn't show all of his cards all of the time, especially early in a season. There's things that you're going to, you know, kind of hide a little bit for future use.
I mean, that's possible. I will say this. From the game plans that I've seen out of the Raiders so far, they've been trying to take advantage and exploit matchups. Take the game at Pittsburgh. Main reason that you could go three tight ends is that you keep your normal, to keep their normal personnel in, and now your tight ends have an advantage. Derek Carrier, Foster Moreau, Darren Waller have an advantage over the Steelers linebackers who struggle to cover in space. They don't do a lot of that. You know, normally the Steelers will go with a dime or a nickel defense. The same thing that teams have been doing to the Raiders. That's why, you know, T.J. Wright hasn't been able to get in as much. You know what I mean?
KJ,
so,
yeah.
KJ, I'm sorry. Yep. It hasn't been able to get in as much. So you're exploiting matchups. And that's what you're doing, and you're working out to see how people are going to play you. And they took on three different teams, and three different teams played them differently, and played some of their star receivers differently, and as well as played the line of scrimmage differently. So we're fortunate enough to say that, you know, right now they're good at 3-0, but they still have a lot of untapped potential. As you mentioned, getting Bryan Edwards involved in the game earlier, that might be a way that they're going to something they're going to do, you know, maybe against the Chargers. Who knows?
I think, I asked John about that on Monday because, you know, he is the best wide receiver in the NFL, or at least the most productive wide receiver in the NFL in the fourth quarter and overtime. Henry Ruggs is number two. But, yeah, it might be time to start looking his way a little bit earlier because the dude makes plays and is becoming a very reliable target. And the thing about him, Lincoln, he goes up and gets the ball. He fights for the ball. He's a big dude, big target.
Yeah, that's how he was at South Carolina. Yeah. One of the reasons why they went after him, why they needed that possession receiver.
Yeah, likely what I'm seeing from Bryan Edwards, obviously. Henry Ruggs, Hunter Renfrow, baller. Darren Waller, no question. So a lot to like about this offense, and I feel like the run game will come along. It's a long season, and you're going to need it at some point, especially when the weather starts turning and it gets a little bit more difficult to throw the ball. They're going to have to be able to run the ball effectively. We'll see if they can get there. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Tuesday.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignore.
You know, I don't have a real concrete answer for that. Probably got to get them involved more as a play caller early. Maybe they need to get themselves a little more involved early as well. sometimes situationally it's easier said than done. But the bottom line is they are getting better, and everybody sees it, everybody knows it, and that's exciting for us.
That's John Gruden talking about Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards and how they have a tendency lately, or at least to start the season, of really coming alive late in games when the Raiders absolutely have to have them. And John talking about, you know, what he needs to do, what they need to do, what Derek Carr needs to do to make that a more consistent situation so that you're going to them early and often, because they're certainly capable players. But I think the overriding point, Lincoln, these young players are getting better. And if you're John Gruden and you're Mike Mayock, and let's not sugarcoat it, there are a lot of people who criticized the Raiders for some of those draft picks, wondering what John Gruden and Mike Mayock were thinking. You know, why are you drafting Henry Ruggs number 12? You know, and just really criticizing some of these drafts. So for them, it's not necessarily an "I told you so." It's more like validation of, "Hey, we were right. You know, we were sound in our thinking and our game planning on this, and what we saw from these players in college, and now they're kind of transitioning as we thought in the NFL." So I don't think there's any, like I said, pointing the finger like "I was right, you were wrong." It's more just validation of the process.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right. The process, the patience. You know, we didn't see a lot of Bryan Edwards last year because he was injured.
Right.
And how many calls did we take last year where people were talking about, well, how come we can't get Ruggs more involved in the offense? And it wasn't like they weren't trying to get Ruggs involved in the offense. We had said there was going to be a slight learning curve for rookie receivers coming into the National Football League. We explained that over and over again. But you're starting to see that. And even in the first week against the Ravens on Monday night, you saw how physical the corners and the secondary was going to be against Ruggs. Because I've said, no one's going to let you just take off with that speed and chase you. That's not going to happen. So they're going to be physical, and and Ruggs has learned how to play through that. For three straight weeks, he's had very physical defensive backs try to take him on or try to take him out. So, and he still found a way to get catches. He's going to have to be more aggressive. They're going to have to learn how to play it. So they're developing in a way to where they're definitely useful. And Derek has made it a point, and that's why I was so impressed over the last 2 weeks, more so than the first one, that Derek has been trying to spread the ball around. Not just, you know, sometimes he gets a little pigheaded when he has a play that's called for Edwards and he's going to try to force it to Edwards. And I go, but no, he's spread the ball around and going through his progression, trusting his offensive line and utilizing all the weapons that he has.
Yeah, I want to keep it right there. But first, I like also what the Raiders are doing. You mentioned having to get off the line of scrimmage, and nobody's going to give Henry Ruggs a free pass off the line of scrimmage. They're going to mug him. They're going to they're going to get after him. And he needs to respond. That's just the world of the NFL. But I do like how they've been putting him in motion, sometimes even double kind of moves in motion, where he's running in one direction, then quickly turns around and starts heading in another direction to kind of get a head start. And then, boom, you're out in the pattern. And then really there's nobody that can contest you on the line of scrimmage, because they don't exactly know where you're going, first of all, where you're going to cut it, where you're going to round it off, all of that. So they're trying to create ways, the Raiders are, to get them off the line of scrimmage a little bit easier.
Yeah, to create ways to get opportunities to give them a football. I mean, case in point, against the Dolphins, he did what they call that little zip motion where he starts in and then right before the snap of the ball turns around and runs full speed to the flat. And the guy who was covering wasn't in the view. He got out. That's why he went to him right away on the flare route. So get him in space and have him turn up and use his speed and open the field.
Yep, for sure. But staying on that subject, Lincoln, and I think it's an important one to always remind ourselves. I think we got a pretty good handle on it, but I think fans are in such a rush to judgment and want it to happen like right now, and that's just really not the way it works. And history shows that, Lincoln, that it doesn't happen overnight. Just right. Because you're the 12th pick overall doesn't mean you're going to be an instant starter or an instant contributor. And the Raiders made no qualms about this, Lincoln, when it relates to Henry Ruggs. They didn't draft him for the now,
right?
Because they knew that there was a development phase that he had to process that he had to kind of adhere to and go through. He needed work getting off the line of scrimmage, what you just mentioned. He needed to get a little bit stronger. He needed to refine some of the, you know, nuances of playing wide receiver at this level. they understood that all of that was part of his package.
Certainly.
And they never shied away from that. And what sometimes gets me, Lincoln, is like they're being perfectly clear with this, and they feel like it's a future payoff that they feel with the proper development time, he's going to get there. And yet there's still this frustration and still this, it should be happening right now. And yet everybody's pointing to the fact that it's not going to happen right now for him.
They drafted Ruggs to take the top off of defenses, to be able to stretch the field, because they know they had a guy who can do everything in Waller and Renfro. They got a possession-style receiver out of Bryan Edwards because he is that he knows how to play physical. He was physical in college. He's been physical since he's been on the field here. And they've got, you know, they've got depth. They've got Snead, as you mentioned. They've got Zay Jones, as you mentioned. You know, so they've got depth at these positions. And it's really good to see. It's good to put on film that, you know, the last two teams have been had a heavy blitz package, and they made them pay.
Yeah,
actually, all three teams had a heavy bid, and they made them pay. They made them pay when you're playing man on man. So that's a good thing to put on film, and that's a good thing to see, because now it makes people second guess whether or not they want to bring an all out blitz.
One more on Henry Ruggs, and you know, I'm with you. You bring him in to take a top off of a defense, and that's his, you know, primary trait, and that puts the fear of God into other teams. That's why they play him the way they play him. But let me ask you something. I think he's going to be even more than that's he to me. This dude's going to be a football player when it's all said and done. There's going to be ways that he hurts a defense that is above and beyond just running down the field and taking a top off.
Well, no, he's done it. He's done it on some of the dig routes. He's done it on some of the crossing routes. I mean, I wish there are certain things with this offense that I wish. I wish they did more crossing routes than with the speed that they have. I wish they had a better screen game, in a draw game, a delay run game. I wish there are a number of things, but I've started to see some things come in development, you know, with some of the routes that he's being better at. He's running more. And let's keep in mind, for the most part, what he ran in Alabama was just running away from people.
And let's also keep in mind, exact point, perfect point. And let's also keep in mind, it's three games in. You know, yeah. John Gruden adds to the playbook as the year
absolutely,
goes on.
Without a doubt.
There's stuff that they're working on that they're going to use down the line. So I would imagine that there's going to be some crossers and some screen packages for Henry Ruggs. The more he shows that he could be an asset with the football in his hands, the more they're going to figure out ways to get him. Lincoln, great job. Always appreciate it. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. I want to say thanks to all the callers. Thank you so much. Devon Cotton, thanks for everything that you do. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.